The way you ended it, that was quite interesting. You said you shot those path. Close down your business, shut down your career to be a wife. That's controversial, isn't it?
If I be brutally honest, Joel, the comments I've received have come from women. What is wrong with you? You are wasting your life. Whereas when I've spoken to men, men have said, wow, I admire your strength. Your husband is so blessed to have a woman that wants to care for him and the kids. What has happened is so much anxiety that I had from trying to be a businesswoman, a dietitian, caring for others, bringing in income, cooking, cleaning, trying to balance this load with my husband. That's a lot to take on.
Is there a lot of shame to women who choose that path?
It really depends on your... So to the mums who want to stay home and they're calling me lucky, I'm not lucky. I have worked incredibly hard. I have sacrificed a lot of time, energy and outings to be where I am, and so has my husband.
Is it possible for a woman to have both? To have a family and also have a successful, wonderful career?
That's a great question, Joel, because...
The women want half of that. They want the freedom of staying home and being with the kids and so forth, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with the extra stuff, the cooking, the cleaning. How would you tackle that?
Women, you need to pull your socks up because you're really making us look bad. My advice to women is, if you're not married and you're single, ask God to help you find a God-loving man.
Yeah. How is God going to make a difference?
I knew, obviously, you're going to ask me this question.
What are three values I got to look for in a partner?
I would say the first one is respect.
Welcome to the Discover You podcast. I'm back again, your host, Joel Benicia. And, you know, this podcast is the number one podcast in terms of empowerment here in the Northern Territory. And we're continuing to find guests that would keep speaking into your life and empowering you and sharing their story. And so today we have a really, really, really good conversation coming up. So if you want to get excited, I'm excited. I don't know if you're excited, but we've got a guest. I won't say too much about who she is, and I'll let her introduce herself, but you're going to be wow about the topics and the conversation we're going to have today. I have with me Eleni.
Hi, Joel. Thanks for having me on your podcast today.
Thanks for coming. When I was having a chat with you before coming to the podcast, and I was quite excited about this episode. I was like, you know what? There's a lot of topics that many people will benefit from today's podcast. And just for the viewers home and those watching online, and those who don't know who you are, if I asked you the question and say, who's Eleni? What would you say?
It's a great question, Joel. And I knew, obviously, you're going to ask me this question. And I didn't really know how to answer it. So I asked my 3-year-old, my 5-year-old, and my 6-year-old kids this week at dinner time yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think first and foremost, the first answer I got when I asked my kids was my second child out of the four said, "Mom, you're a Christian." And I thought to myself, wow, that's really beautiful that my 5-year-old son was able to identify me with that. So first and foremost, I identify myself with being a woman of Christ and a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and locally here in Darwin, I'm part of the Greek Orthodox community, and that's very, very important to myself. And secondly to that, I'm a wife to an exceptional man that you also know, and very proud to be married to him. And together we've created our own God-loving family. So thirdly in line is I'm a mother to 4 beautiful children. I've got a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, and a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. And they're just incredible kids. I absolutely love being the mother of that entire unit. Mm. And then I am, of course, a daughter, a sister to 4 of my own siblings, and then 22 in-laws.
Great.
19. I got my numbers right. 19 in-laws. There are 22 nieces and nephews. So I'm also an auntie.
It's a big family.
And then, of course, I'm a friend to others, including yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's probably not the answer you wanted exactly. However, from a secular point of view, if I need to describe who I am, I'm a Darwin-born Greek, part of the Greek community, as I've mentioned. And I grew up in Darwin. I went to school here locally, And then I went down to Flinders University in Adelaide and studied nutrition and dietetics and became a dietitian. I worked for a period of time at the Diabetes Association of the NT, and many, many people know me from that role because it was so dynamic and such a great career pathway, great stepping stone into that career. And then I have actually, I've started my own business, which I've now shut down, which was Baby Gains. So for a period of time, I was Darwin's only baby food provider, and I provided nutrition education to mums and bubs and nourishing first foods to them. And now I've shut those chapters and I'm owning my role in life as a mother and a wife to my beautiful husband and family, and following my path in Christ.
So the way you ended it, that was quite interesting. You said you shot those path.
Yeah.
So you closed down your business.
Yeah.
Shut down your career.
Correct.
To be a wife and a daughter in Christ.
And a mum.
And a mum. That's controversial, isn't it? A lot of women listening to this would be like, Eleni, why would you do that? What about your career?
Yes, and if I be brutally honest, Joel, the comments that I have received have been, what is wrong with you? What a waste. You are wasting your life.
Wow.
It's actually been very, very difficult because the comments I've received have come from women, whereas when I've spoken to men, men have said, wow, I admire your strength. Wow. Your husband is so blessed to have a woman that wants to care for him and the kids. There are some women, mind you, not all women that I've spoken to. Many women have said, this is fantastic. Maybe I can do the same thing. Because what has happened is so much anxiety that I had from trying to be a businesswoman, a dietitian, caring for others, bringing in income, cooking, cleaning, trying to balance this load with my husband, who also has his own career pathway and works very long hours, that juggle of trying to do this dual career thing with both of us working whilst also wanting to have a family, that's a lot to take on. And there was a lot of anxiety in the household. And I think it's important to note that it wasn't just a, this is what I want to do. It was a, what does God intend of me and my husband to do in our life? What does he want us to do? And that's where I had to really discern what I was doing, the choices I've made in my path, and then figure out, what do I do from here on? And that's where I've come to this conclusion.
Is there a lot of shame to women who choose that path?
To choose the path of staying home?
Correct.
I would say that it really depends on your circle and your community. I'm obviously part of a very big Greek community, and a lot of mums in my community choose to stay home and care for their own children and be the homemakers and care for the family and cook the meals. But there's this huge movement of, we should not be doing that. We should be going to work. We should be contributing to society. And there's daycare, family daycare, there are grandmothers. All of these other support places should be caring for our kids. I'm a woman, so I'm entitled to work like my husband. Why should he be the only one that gets to have freedom and go to work all day? So I would say a lot of us mums, maybe not everyone, but there is definitely, for me, in my decision-making, I definitely felt some shame, especially in receiving comments from other women who had said, what a waste it is that you've just studied and decided to throw that away so that you could care for your children.
That's a big word, throw that away. Throw.
But it's not a waste at all. I should probably add a little more context.
Yeah.
I've also taken my children out of the school system and I am now homeschooling my kids as well.
So are you still doing a lot? Like mental health-wise, how is your mental health now that you've pulled out of all this and you're only worrying about your family, your kids, your husband, and God?
That's a great question, Joel, because if you asked me this a year ago, when I was doing it all, I was an absolute mess. And now that I've thrown things away, now that I've decluttered my mind and decluttered my life and simplified my life, I have never been happier and more free.
Really?
I feel so free. I wake up and I know what my intentions are for the day. I know what I need to do. I don't have multiple phone calls to attend to. I don't have customers calling me. I don't need to worry about meeting social marketing expectations and being in a business loss. And I don't need to think about, was the chicken cooked to 65 degrees Celsius in the Cheeky Chicken Bites batch? Did I stuff up? Because not usually I'd be working between 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. because that was when I could do it. So I was so much more overloaded a year ago than I am now. So in simplifying my life and what looks like a waste to so many people, my soul, if we look at things from a spiritual point of view, I feel really light, and I actually feel far more empowered and happier now than I was when I was achieving the worldly successes that a woman may feel they need.
What do you mean by may feel? Is there an expectation out there?
I feel like there is an expectation for myself, and I mean, we're here to talk about my own journey, so I can't speak on behalf of all women, but I got into a very highly competitive degree. If you have ever tried to get into nutrition and dietetics at any university, it's very competitive. The entrance rank when I finished high school in 2010 was 97.95 to get in.
Chalugu.
And that's high. I didn't get it. I actually was interviewed by Julia Christensen on ABC Radio. Yeah. I was one of those kids that I was friends with her son in school, actually.
Oh, that's how you got in?
And no, not into the degree, but that's how Julia said, hey, can I interview you on live radio and you can share your results? Because she knew that I was this driven, passionate young girl that wanted to go to university and go and move away from home. And I wanted to achieve this career and become this career-driven woman and own a business. I had those aspirations for so long. And there I was live telephone interview, and she had said, okay, I'm joined here now with Eleni Vasilakoglu, because that was my name, obviously, pre-marriage. Yeah. And so what mark did you get? And I was absolutely shattered because I didn't get the 97.95, but regardless of that, I still managed to get into the degree because Charles Darwin University are sister universities with Flinders, and they had a special place, et cetera, et cetera. So I was able to get in, and I was actually faced with the decision of, I also was accepted into University of Wollongong. So I had this, as a woman, if I compare myself to my mum, who didn't ever have a university acceptance, she didn't even finish year seven. Like, my mum didn't even finish school. Mm. So in comparison to her life, mum, I'm one of three daughters, I have a brother as well.
Yeah.
She really wanted us as children, even my brother, to have opportunities that she didn't get as a child, just because culturally things were very different back then. So I think there was this disappointment when I didn't get the mark, because I wanted to prove to everyone that even though I'm a girl and even though I'm Greek, and I'll like emphasize what I mean by that in a moment, I wanted to prove that I can do something big and I can be great. When I was younger, I have a memory. Mm-hmm. I was 12. Mm-hmm. I was in year seven, and this boy, I have no disrespect to hairdressers, okay, but this boy said to me, it doesn't really matter if you don't understand math. Eesh. It doesn't matter, because you're Greek. You're just going to be a hairdresser anyway. And I remember looking at him thinking, what? I'm Greek and I'm going to be a hairdresser. A lot of Greek women do become hairdressers. Okay?
Oh, that's a thing.
And that's fine.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And
that's
I mean, a lot of women might also choose to become, I don't know, teachers.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It shouldn't matter what you are. But the way it was said was as if you don't need to try hard because you're a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Is how it was perceived. Yeah. So that, for me, I'll always remember his comment, and it made me, I've never seen him again, but I would love to be able to see him and say, hey, you know what? I've actually done X, Y, Z, and I'm really proud of it. Yeah. And I'm also really proud now to not be working in these areas. I can come back to it at a later date if I want to, but right now the most important thing is my husband, or God, my husband, and my four children.
Wow. That's a story to process and a half.
It's always a lot when you're chatting to me, Joel.
I want to go down the rabbit hole and see if you can help me understand.
Yep.
Is it possible for a woman to have both? To have a family, be attached to God, and also have a successful, wonderful career and be happy?
Mm. Can a woman have it all?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Pretty much. Can a woman have it all?
That's a loaded question. That's a loaded.
A career, a full family.
Yep.
Success.
Yeah, I actually think you can. I honestly believe you can. And I know this. There's one person coming to mind, and I don't want to throw their name under the bus, but if they ever watch this, they'll know that I'm talking about them. She's such a role model to me too.
Yeah.
There's a woman in my life who has five children. Mm-hmm. She's married to an extraordinary man, but she's an extraordinary woman as well. And they are an extremely good team, and they're a very God-loving family. They're a wonderful family. They both have incredibly good careers. They've got a good family balance. But I think the difference there is that they had to make a choice at some point. Do I want to care for the kids myself, or do we put the children into daycare?
Yeah.
And for them, they were very comfortable and totally okay with putting the kids into care, whether it be daycare, after school care, or hiring an older couple or grandparents to watch the kids. They went through a variety of care pathways, I suppose, for their children. And I think if you're okay as a woman to do that, and you're happy to pay for help, have that help, and your husband is a man that is willing to meet you in the middle and help with some cooking and help with the cleaning, and you can come up with a partnership together that works, you can have it all in that regard. You can be someone that has career, et cetera, et cetera. But whether or not you are truly internally happy, I can't answer for that person because I don't know. I think that's really individualized because – It's actually a question that my husband asked me a few days ago. He said, do you feel happy at the moment homeschooling the kids and being at home? Because sometimes people chat to me and they think I'm holding you captive at home. To give the listeners some insight into my life, we live on a beautiful, perfectly manicured by my husband property on 5 acres in Virginia. The grass is beautiful. The kids have so much space to play on. We have chickens. We have ducks are literally hatching as we speak. It's such a joyful place to be as a mother and with children. Mm-hmm. I'm not held captive there at all. I actually love being at home. And in my very short-lived journey, because we've only really just started our homeschool journey, but in our short-lived homeschool journey, it has actually been incredible to be the kids' teacher. But while I'm teaching them, they're actually teaching me so much. And I feel so honored to know that I'm learning from them probably more than they're learning from me. And I get to do this, not some random lady that doesn't share the same morals and values that happens to be their teacher at school. And so to go back to your original question, can you really have it all? I think it depends on what you think all really is, because personally for me right now, I feel like where I'm at right now in my life, I really do have it all. I have peace. I'm gaining patience because it's a learnt virtue of Christ that we're ever trying to achieve.
Yep.
I have so much love in my home. I'm respected. I'm cherished by my husband. I'm safe in his care and in his arms. We have a wonderful life together. And I feel like for me, that really is all. I don't need anything else. I don't need to go and work in a diabetes clinic again so that I can say I have it all.
There is women watching this right now that would look at you and say, lucky you.
Yeah.
Right? You have the freedom to be able to make these decisions, because your husband, obviously, if you're living in a 5-acre property, then you guys are probably doing well financially.
Yeah.
And you're probably doing well, this and that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say to those women?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great question, because right now, to be here today, my sister's watching my kids. My sister's pregnant with her fourth child. And this conversation has come up. Mm-hmm. When you say to me, what would I say to them when they say, I'm so lucky,
mm-hmm.
right? I would say that thanks to God, I just so happened to have this opportunity and be in this place. But a lot of that didn't just happen overnight. So for us to have this, the home we live in, for example, I did work for however long I was working as a dietitian. And during that time, my husband was studying at Charles Darwin University. So there was a period of life where we had to make sacrifice and we had to make choices where we didn't go out, we didn't drink alcohol, we did survive with one car for a period of time. We saved a lot of money. We didn't go on holidays. Our friends would go and do things and we would very, very logically decide not to go and do something so that we could save money. So it's not, if we're talking about finances, financially, we're in a good place now, but it wasn't always like this. It came from a lot of really, really hard work. But to the mums who are listening to this, or to the women listening to this who are thinking to themselves, that's not fair. I want to have that opportunity to stay home with my kids and not have to go to work so that I can be at home and look after my kids and do what you're doing and school them myself. I think that what it comes down to is communicating with your partner and making that known, because there are many friends that I am associated with at the moment who are in that predicament, and they've said to me, Eleni, I actually want to do what you're doing because I think that there's a lot of benefit from that for the kids, but it will also benefit my marriage, because if I'm not at work all day till five and I'm at home with the children and homeschooling them, because there's a bit of a huge homeschool movement happening. It's happened for a while, but there's so much more of it happening now because of just the way the world is progressing, but I'll come back to that. They've actually said to me, what can I do so that I can stay home and be a homemaking mum instead of a working mum? And I think one of those things that women can try and do is sit down with your husband, let them know, or partner, whatever it is, your partner, your spouse, your husband, the person you live with, make your needs known. Talk to your husband, because they most likely will support that. I haven't met a single man. You're a man. If you had a woman in your life that you lived with and they said, Joel, I love you so much and I love our kids, is there a way we can simplify our life so that I can be the one teaching the kids, so that you could come home to me cooking your dinner every night as a happy woman? Would you say, no, I want you to work, Eleni? Or would you be like, wow, I would love that. Yes, let's look at how we can budget better and live a more simple life. Maybe we don't need to live in Virginia on a 5-acre block on a property that has a pool. Should we sell up and buy something smaller?
Let me add on to that. I've spoken to many men who would actually love for that to be their reality. And what they say is that the wife wants to be a stay-at-home mom, but she doesn't want to cook. So that created conflict in their relationship. Yeah, what do you say about that?
Interesting. That's interesting.
Long day.
Wow. So you're saying women, you've got...
They want the freedom.
They want the freedom to stay home with their children, but they don't want to take on the
responsibility of cooking and cleaning and everything else that old school mothers used to do.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got this a large amount of men still desiring a woman to be a bit old school, and the quality, and those women, those men will provide for a woman that is old school, but they're finding out that the women want half of that. They want the freedom of staying home and being with the kids and so forth, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with the extra stuff, the cooking, the cleaning and so forth. How would you tackle that?
If my friends do watch this program and they hear my response to you, they will probably come in and say, yeah, she said this to me. Women, you need to pull your socks up because you're really making us look bad. I think the generation of women that are coming out at the moment, and I'm going to be crucified for this, but they don't know how to cook. They don't know how to put washing in a washing machine. We don't even need to hang it anymore. There are dryers.
Aye, aye, aye.
How hard is it to put some washing in a machine, put it in a dryer, and spend 15 minutes folding it? If this same spouse, and I say this to my husband, I hate folding washing, right? Yeah. But I have 4 kids, so there's a lot of it. So we have a thing, and he knows on Tuesdays, and today's Friday. Tuesday, Friday is folding washing day. Mm-hmm. And then the other days I wash, hang some, put some in the dryer because there's so much that I have to do. Sheets one day, there's a system in the house. But he knows when I'm folding washing, he has to come and fold with me. No phones, just sit down. I don't even care if he just does towels. But wow. It's something we do together. You talk to me. And that makes me enjoy that task so much more because we end up doing it together.
Yeah.
I think women who don't like cooking, I know I was brutal. I said, pull your socks up, right? But if they say, love, I hate cooking. So is it okay if when you come home from work, can you just come into the kitchen with me? You peel the onions and I'll cut them. But make it more fun for me so that I can put more love into it because I'm doing it with you. So I think what happens today is instead of taking on a responsibility and saying, my husband is going to allow me to stay home, and men, all men, if you're a man listening to this and you don't feel this way, I'll be shocked, but men feel so loved. There's one thing they love that we all know, and the next thing to that is food.
Uh-huh.
And when I love how you're laughing over there.
Even a videographer agrees.
A videographer agrees. A man who comes home.
Long day.
This is great. This is why Joel has me here. I'm not holding back, and I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody. But for me, these are my truths.
My husband
feels loved when he comes home and there's dinner on the table. Right. And he can smell it. He says, oh, yeah, she's making my favorite Greek lamb. I love it. My husband's not Greek, mind you. So he's just one of those very blessed men. He's a God-loving man that we spent a lot of time before getting married discerning if we should marry each other. A lot of prayer, a lot of conversing with priests, a lot of really trying to decide, is this the man for me? Am I the woman for him? And I think it's been nearly 10 years. In January, it's 10 years being married with 4 kids in that time. And I honestly wholeheartedly would say that, yes, God intended us to be together and we're a great unit. Because there are days where I'll text him. Days like today, I've come here, so it's shaken up my usual Friday routine. Mm-hmm. And he knows that dinner's either going to be late or he's going to need to help me with dinner. And that's fine. And he said, no worries. I'll help you when I get home if he needs to.
Yeah.
And there's no pushback because that's something that we will do together because we're a team. Mm. But it shouldn't be. Someone said to me one day, I think you need to create a roster and tell your husband that he needs to do X, Y, Z jobs. And sometimes that's necessary. Like when we had our 4th child, he took a bit of time off so that he could help me out with adjusting to life with 4 kids.
Yeah.
And during that time, he pulled his socks up and he did cook the dinners and he did do the washing and he did care for me.
Yeah.
The Orthodox Church across the entire world, so it's not just the Greeks, it's the Serbians, it's the Russians, it's the Greeks, it's the anyone that's Orthodox, we have a 40-day rule. So you have a baby. And during the 40 days after having a baby, the mum is cared for. Meals are, as much as possible, are made for, whether it's by the husband or the in-laws or if you've got a community. Personally, I think God's given me a real gift when it comes to homemaking in that maybe the first week or two, I do appreciate some of that extra help. And then after that, I kind of get back into a groove. And I love cooking so much because that's another gift I've been given that I don't mind doing that for the family. But that 40 days is such a sacred time of bonding for you and your baby. And there's so much scientific evidence that proves that during that first 6 weeks, whether it's your spouse or anyone else, or even if it's paid help, you should relax and be able to bond with your kids and recover from that 9 months. So what I'm saying, the reason why I'm sharing that is because while I sound like I have these strict gender roles, they do intertwine a lot. You need to be a team. So to the mums who want to stay home and they're calling me lucky, I'm not lucky. I have worked incredibly hard. I have sacrificed a lot of time, a lot of social energy and outings to be where I am, and so has my husband. And we work really well as a team, particularly in communication, to get to this point where he goes to work and I stay home. And even though I don't really want to do certain tasks, I do them because I know that's the sacrifice I've made to be there.
No, that's exactly what we need. These are the type of conversation that's going to shift the generation in terms of thinking. Let me take the other side and I'll give a good example. I had, many of you know that I do a lot of counseling and life coaching and so forth. So if you ever need a session, reach out to me. But I had this lady come to me in one of the sessions and quote unquote, she started by saying this line. She said, "Man and shit." I don't even swear, but I had to quote that for that for the viewers. And
could you say that again? "Man and
shit."
That's it.
Yes, that's how she started. She was quite emotional.
Okay.
She came into the office and the first thing she said was that.
Yeah.
And I said, "What's going on?" And she expressed that she was desiring a lot of things that we spoke about, being a stay-at-home mom and so forth. But men, according to her, men don't really understand what women want. And so women aren't feeling safe in their marriages. Women aren't feeling understood. And so because of that anger they're feeling towards their partner, they want to take the role of the men right now and say, "Look, I don't even need you. You can leave. Or you can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to be the breadwinner. I'm going to take into this position. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do ABC.
Yeah.
You're not needed at all."
Yep.
And that's the cases for, I don't know if it's many women, but I'm seeing it commonly at the moment. There's a lot of women that are hurting and they just feel completely misunderstood. And you're telling, and I'm using your line here, you're challenging these women to communicate and to build a partnership while they believe that the man they're with is not it.
If these women are not already married or don't already have children, so if you do, different advice. But if you're not already married, I would recommend do not marry this man. If this particular woman, don't know her scenario. My advice to women is if you're not married and you're single, if you are a single woman out there listening to this, ask God to help you find a God-loving man. And if you're not even a Christian, just take a deep breath and say, "God, please help me find a God-loving man." Because I think a lot of the issues that we have in the world today is that there's this huge movement in the world that it's about what I want. The world is all about me. And I experienced this even myself in school. What do you want to do when you grow up? Who do you want to be? What do you feel like? How are you feeling? We need to ask ourselves, what does God intend of me? What does God want me to be as a husband or as a wife or as a child? What job does God want me to have? And what I'm seeing, because I know many people who have husbands like what you've just described. I know women with husbands like that, and it is absolutely painful for me to see that. I have people very dear in my life with husbands like this, and unfortunately they're so far removed from Christ, these men who are actually part of Christian groups, but they're so far removed from God in their own inner being that they can't actually humble themselves and listen to their spouse and say, wow, I'm sorry, you are right, let's try and do blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. So there is a lot of men with the word you said, and
I had to use it.
I don't want to attack men only, yeah, because I know also many men who say that women have that same problem. So what I can see is that when I speak to those men or to those women that have that issue, my personal belief is that it's because we've gone from being a world that, or Australia, mm-hmm, or if you just think in general, even if I just look at my own community, mm-hmm, the Greek Orthodox community, we're supposed to be Orthodox. We're supposed to be at least trying to be Orthodox Christians. And a mm-hmm lot of people will say, yeah, I'm baptized Orthodox, but are they really living a life of Christ or trying to?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think, because we're in this real selfish generation I hate saying it like this, but I feel like we live in an anti-Christian time. So a lot of people listening to this, they might be tapping out because I start talking about God, but I feel like if you bring God into something, people don't always want to hear it. But I think that's what's missing in our men, and it's what's missing in our women. People don't want to do what God wants them to do.
So let me question what people, viewers are questioning. They're saying, okay, you're talking God here, God there. Yeah. How is God going to make a difference?
How is God going to make a difference? So even if we simplify things, I'm not saying go to church on Sunday. I'm not telling you to come to St. Nicholas or St. Savas.
Mm-hmm.
But if you open the Bible and you just, even as a non-baptized Christian, say, okay, what does God want me to do? Mm. And we just look at the first three things God wants us to do.
Mm.
Like, Joel, I know you have a Christian background. What are the first three commandments? What are the first three? Do you know them off the top of your head?
Good question. Stoy, do you know?
Come on!
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Did everyone hear the first one?
Love the Lord.
Do you have Mike?
Oh, no.
See, I'll repeat what he said.
Repeat what he said. It's very powerful.
Love
just
the Lord with all
one
your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you're loving God and then loving your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, so love God with all your heart and all your soul. You're not a Christian and you're asking me, how do I know what God wants me to do? And you just look at that, those first two commandments.
Hmm.
Who am I made in the image of?
Yep.
Who am I made in the image of who?
Hmm.
What's the answer?
God.
I'm made in the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you. And so is Stowe. And so is all the people out there. You saw chatting to me in the foyer.
Yeah.
Talked to lots of people on my way in today. And the minute you think of it like that and you go, wow, I'm supposed to love God with all my heart and all my soul. How do I love him like that? And that is simply by loving everyone else, because we're all made in the image of God. So how can I listen to God and be more like Christ? Soften your heart. Put your walls down and start to love again. I came in here with a whole block of books, and I'm gonna pick one up right now.
Do it.
If you're listening, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you. I'm just a lay person, okay? I am not holy in any way. I am not a theological student. I don't even know if I don't know. But if you can read or get your hands on these books, they're written by Saint Paisios, who's a contemporary saint of our time. He died in the early 1990s. And a lot of his text was written way before that. It's wonderful. But the passage that I opened up just before when I walked in here had said, and I've lost it, but this generation is like steel. The generation is like steel. Their hearts have turned hard. They can't love anymore because everything around us, you break your iPhone or your Android and you just go get it replaced. It doesn't matter. Here's the $400 to fix that. But back in the day, you didn't have machinery. You had animals, right? Mm-hmm. And if you overloaded your poor little donkey going up that mountain in Greece, the donkey would fall and you'd feel sorry for the donkey and your heart hurt for that donkey.
Yep.
And so you'd take off the load and you'd say, let's stop, let's have some water. And there was this care and this love, right, for your animal. We don't even have love for humankind. So how are we going to love the animals? We live in a really cold-hearted society. People don't care about each other. And when we come to marriages, bringing it back to the conversation about men and women, I really highly recommend you discern who you're marrying. Make sure that they have, if you're not a Christian, at least make sure they have values and morals and virtue and you can communicate. And you can pick up if you have good communication prior to getting married. That's important.
Mm.
But people in general, I think in today's society, we live in a selfish generation where we need to stop thinking about only me and thinking about us all as a whole.
Let me put you on the spot right there. You mentioned about values. So I wanted to just quickly say, hey, look, Helene, a woman watching from the other side of the screen says, hey, what are three values I got to look for in a partner? What would you say?
Mm.
If I want to have a really wonderful marriage, what's three values that I need to look for?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would say the first one is respect. For me, these are the things that I value. Mm-hmm. These are the things that my husband has that I absolutely, absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was that he placed God first in his life.
Yep.
My husband was a very God-loving person when I met him and still is. The second was the respect that he showed me, but also himself. And I'll elaborate on that in a moment. And the third one was his patience. Because growing up, and I'm not trying to put my family down, I had a wonderful family, but man, all of us in our family, we do not have patience. We are, my husband calls it the, we have what's called the 0 to 100 scale. Takes about less than a second for us to go from 0 to 100. We're happy and then all of a sudden we can become these crazy people, like yelling. And when we're all together in the same room, like at a dinner table eating, we're all just like, hola! It's entertaining and funny and it can be so overwhelming, especially if it's not, I've digressed, but love of Christ above all, respect and patience. For me, they're the top three things because if someone has a value for God in their life and they attend church or they're reading the Bible and they're trying to live a life of Christ, meaning that they're kind, they're loving, they're caring, then that falls into that second point, which is love of self and respect of self, sorry. Yep. I met my husband when I was 17. I was 3 weeks off my 18th birthday.
Chalugu.
Right? So that's a long time ago. And did I have a potty mouth? Like I would swear a lot. If you were to doing this interview with me then, there would have been a lot of bombs, swearing words coming out already. Yeah. I wouldn't have been as composed as I am, even though I'm talking so much. It's so fast. And I remember one day he said to me, and then we were just friends at this stage because he came from a family that didn't believe in dating, right? So we didn't date. If he asks you, if you ask him, and I think you have had this conversation, Joel's in part of it.
We must.
If you ask him.
I'll ask him again.
How long did you date Eleni for before you got married? He'd say, We didn't date. I didn't date her. We were courting, but we were never together. And that is hilarious because we know that we very much were romanced, but he calls it a courting phase because of the respect he had for himself.
Yeah.
He didn't want to take what wasn't his until we were married. So that respect, that's what I mean by respect. I felt so respected and so safe by him because of that respect, mm-hmm. that's why I value that. And patience. I remember as a child, if I broke a glass or something or dropped a plate, there'd be this reactive response like, hey, you broke a glass, ah, you stupid kid, ah, you're going to hurt yourself. Right? I remember the first time I broke something in front of my husband and he just looked at me and he was like, oh, well, get the broom. And I just remember thinking, what the heck? Like, you can react like that? He's helped me to calm myself down, not to swear. I think if there could be a fourth point, spending time with him made me such a better person. I'm so much better because he's in my life. And that's how I know he's meant to be there.
So let me ask you this. I had a guy come up to me and one of the things he said to me, he said, oh, Joel, there is no point of getting married in this day and age. There is no benefit in marriage. What would you say to that? Is marriage a gift or a curse?
Wow. So there's a third book in this series and I don't have it. But it's about
marketing,
marriage and family. Yes, I'm marketing St. Basios. If you go to Thessaloniki in Greece, please visit his monastery. There's no particular, it's a monastery, but wow, I think it depends. It depends, he's, why does he think that? And you know,
many people feel like that right now. They feel like there is no point of getting married.
Is it because they feel like women are no longer dedicated, or is it because men, what is it?
It's both gender right now, we're in this age of confusion. When everybody thinks they want something, but nobody really knows what they want. And then when they go into the dating phase or marriage, they realize maybe this is not what I want. And then they want to switch and find somebody else. And there's a lot of confusion right now. I think there's a lot of traumas that people are carrying from past relationships, from the way they were raised and the way they grew up. And relationship right now, I feel, to many people, just feels like a burden. To the point where the bad outweighs the good. And you've been married for 10 years. And speaking to you, I get a sense that you feel like the good outweighs the bad.
Most definitely.
So what are you doing differently?
What am I doing differently? Yeah, it's a great question. I think, first of all, if you are listening, I highly recommend, it's a very small book. It's called The Homilies of St. John Chrysostom on Love, Marriage and Family Life.
I swear, someone will convert after this episode. Someone will convert.
So if you need a godparent, come and find me, okay? St. John Chrysostom, he's one of the first saints he's one of many. There's so many saints I could quote.
Yeah.
We could do another talk another time about saints if you wish. Perfect. But what am I doing differently in that marriage? For me, marriage is a gift. From that book, this is something that St. John Chrysostom puts very well. When you are married, do you believe that you become one? Like, what do you believe? Do you believe you become one?
I believe in oneness.
So I believe that also because obviously we're married in the church and we're blessed by Christ and there are many prayers that are read over us that unite us as one. We are now one in an Orthodox wedding. If you're ever fortunate enough to attend one, we're actually crowned with crowns of glory. So have you ever attended one?
Andrew Savas, he invited me.
There you go. You would have seen at his wedding that they had crowns that were placed on their heads three times, and the crowns on their head are then joined with this, with like a string or, you know, a rope. It's fancy, looks beautiful. And what that basically represents is that oneness. But the crowns represent their martyrdom of dying to each other. You are called, all of us who are called to be Christians are called to be saints.
Yep.
That's what we're here for, to try. We're entering. You don't become the best athlete just by rocking up to the stadium to run a race, right? You've got to train.
Yeah, you must train.
So if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you can't just expect to have an easy life. You need to go through challenges and work hard at it. And when you're doing something for the sake of God and in the name of Christ, it's amazing because it's almost like that burden just becomes easier because it's for something good. And that's a confusing kind. I can see I've confused you a bit.
No. I've got a question straight on that point. How do you train for marriage?
So how do you train for marriage?
Mm.
If you're going to, so I am now, the things I'm about to say are not my own. Nothing I'm saying is my own. It's all come from St. John Chrysostom, or it's come from St. Basios, or
another book?
Wounded by Love.
Uh-huh.
Okay. St. Porphyrios. And this is not even about marriage.
Yeah.
This is just about learning to love. Love, like the first commandment.
Yeah.
Agape.
Agape.
Mm-hmm. You're bringing some Greek into it. I actually forget the first question you asked me, though, which was very important because I had a point. What was – you asked me about – well, first, now we're getting into how do you train for marriage, but it was – you asked me about the benefits outweigh the gift, right?
The gift of marriage. That's the
how you view marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So before I got married, I loved being – I loved sport. I played soccer for Hellenic.
You're a baller.
I was a soccer baller, not anymore. I also was one of those people that loved riding my push bike everywhere. I'd ride it to work. I'd ride it to the gym. I'd go to the gym. I'd do body pump classes. I'd do aerobics. I loved doing fitness. I obviously studied nutrition and dietetics, and I love food. So part of my role was to do cooking sessions. I did things in that job where we would cook meals with the elderly, easy meals so they could still be independent, da-da-da. There's a lot, right? And then once marriage began, there was this shift. I've been crowned with glory with my husband to die to him and live in oneness, right? And now I'm not just living for myself anymore. If he's having a really bad day and I'm having a great day, I'm not just going to ignore him because he's going to bring me down. I'm going to bring him back up. When my left calf is noticeably smaller than my right calf, right? So what does my body have to do when I'm doing fitness? My right leg naturally compensates for my left leg, which is why I have left leg knee issues. But the body will compensate for the other half of me that isn't working well.
Yeah.
So when we look at marriage, the reason why I think a lot of people are in marriage and feel like marriage is hindering them is because they're not viewing marriage as this oneness. They're not one with their spouse. Their spouse is here and they're there, and they're just like at war with each other. But if you bring the missing piece into your life, which is Christ, you have this beautiful oneness. And when one eye is broken, you're going to work harder to bring that other half up. Yesterday, I had a really hard day.
Yeah.
And my husband came home, and he had to deal with a really grumpy version of me. And it was incredible because his patience and his ability just to give me a hug and love me brought me back up. And then I finished cooking dinner and we went outside and we played with the kids and we came back and we ate and everything was good again. But I think if you view marriage as being one and you actually try to find the right person for yourself, marriage is a beautiful gift. And when it gets hard, don't chuck the divorce card out there. Well, this is hard. I'm going to divorce you. This is hard. And I've made a commitment to be with you for life. So let's see how we can reunite again and work harder. Because this is meant to be forever. Not just a few years.
Wow. Well put.
So to train for marriage, if you're a single person, sort yourself out first. if you're a mess, if you've got mental issues, if you've got childhood trauma, if you don't know how to pray, if you can't deal with stress in your life or anxiety right now as a single person, all of those things become 1,000 times worse when you have a wife or a husband and children that are depending on you. Mm. I am stressed all the time. But because in my youth I had very strict parents and incredibly good spiritual support, and I'm still trying to do these things. I'm not perfect at all.
Yep.
But I've been taught if you have a problem, you turn to Christ. If you've done something wrong, you go talk to your priest and you have confession. If you need help, then go and pray. Pray to the most holy Mother of God. Pray to Jesus. Pray to St. Nicholas, or pray to St. John Chrysostom, who worked with so many people in married life. They will speak to Christ for us. It's like, well, you go to the hospital, right? Because mm-hmm. I know the question about saints might come up for our viewers.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a hospital and you are probably seen by the intern, because the consultant might not be working at that hour. They've gone home. If there's something really wrong with you, the intern is going to call the consultant and talk to them and say, hey, nah, Joel really needs your help. Yeah. So can you come in and help him out? And that's where praying and talking to our holy saints, because they lived on this earth, like St. Phaisios, if you read these books, you'll be like, whoa, how does he know that stuff when he died?
Yeah.
They would speak to Christ for us, and that's really, really powerful.
Wow. What a session and a half. I still got so many questions that I haven't even touched on, and I'm pretty happy with today's podcast, and I think it deserves a part two. It definitely deserves a part two, because there's questions here that I must ask, and we'll definitely touch that on the part two. Thank you so much, Eleni, for sharing. You've been a super wonderful guest. We talked about all sorts of topics that I think the guests, I think the fans, the audience would really enjoy watching and reviewing. So thank you so much for those of you joining and watching the Discover You podcast. Thank you again for today, and this episode will be out soon. If you have yet to subscribe, please go out and subscribe to the Discover You podcast on YouTube. We're also on Spotify. Just type Discover You podcast. And we'll see you next time. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed our content, please follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and TikTok. And if you really want to support us, please support us on Patreon, Subscribestar, and Crypto. I personally want to say thank you to all of you that are following us. And I want to make a promise that if you follow us, if you subscribe to our channel, that we will keep producing the best, highest form of quality content to add value to your life and help you find fulfillment in life. Thank you.